Frank Mirror goes into the visual arts and investigates the humor of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
An artist had just seduced his beautiful young model in his studio. "Juno," he said, "you're the first model I've ever made love to." "I'll bet," said the girl. "Who were your other models?" He said, "Let me see, a vase of flowers, a brace of dead pheasants, and a kipper." A burglar broke into the house of a modern artist, and while he was stealing all the valuables, the owner surprised him. And though the burglar got away, the artist had a good look at him and produced a lightning sketch. Police are now looking for a man with 7 green legs and 2 poached eggs on his head. Here's a quickie. Sculptor in his studio to his female model. "Quick, get your clothes off. My wife's coming." My mother-in-law had a photograph taken and complains the photographer didn't do her justice. "You don't need justice," he said. "You need mercy." A bohemian artist went to the doctor. After examining him, the doctor said, I'll give you a prescription of something to take 3 times a day with water." "What is it?" said the artist. "Soap." A rather inexperienced assistant in an art gallery accidentally dropped a priceless painting, tearing the canvas. The director stormed at him. "You imbecile! That picture was 300 years old!" "Oh," he said, "lucky it won a new one, isn't it?" I used to do a bit of painting myself, actually. One day a lovely girl came to see me and she said, "Can you paint me in the nude?" And I said, "Certainly, madam, but I'll have to keep my socks on, you know, because I must have somewhere to put the brushes." Picasso was at work at one of his classics, and a friend was watching him, and when Picasso had finished, Picasso said, "What do you think?" His friend said, "I think it's magnificent." He said, "I'm not too happy about the nose." Picasso said, I'd like to change the nose. And the friend said, "Why don't you?" He said, "I can't find it." An artist's Irish assistant had just finished creating several valuable paintings for export. "Did you stamp 'this side up with care' on the top of the crate?" the artist asked. "Oh, to be sure I did. Oh, I did, oh, I did. Oh, yes, oh, I did. Sure I did. Yes. And just to be sure, I put it on the bottom as well."
The world of art, which we'll be going into in this series of 10 programs, is a strange world, because it raises all kinds of problems of definition. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and so is art. The most commonly held critical view on the subject is, "Well, I don't know much about art, but I know what I like." And it's a view with which one cannot argue. In other words, if you think the plaster ducts on your sitting room wall are better art than Michelangelo's David, then they are. Fortunately, this area of uncertainty about what art is, where it stops and pretension starts, is fertile ground for humour. We'll start with painting, because that's what most people think of first as art. And immediately we find problems of definition. What is art? G.K. Chesterton.
Art, like reality, consists in drawing the line somewhere.
Oh, it's rather good, isn't it? It doesn't help a lot, though, does it? Let's be a little more specific. What is painting? Sydney Smith.
Painting is an intermediate something between a thought and a thing.
Ah. Oh, well. And how is it done? Here's the opinion of the painter Degas.
Painting is easy when you don't know how, but very difficult when you do.
But that still doesn't help one spot the genuine from the phony in the world of art. The person who you've condemned as talentless may suddenly be recognised as a genius. There's always an element of uncertainty. James McNeill Whistler.
An artist's career always begins tomorrow.
I suppose, ultimately, you have to take people at their word. If they say they're artists, they may well be artists and have all the attendant allowances made for them. Jules Cypher.
Artists can colour the sky red because they know it's blue. Those of us who aren't artists must colour things the way they really are, or people might think we're stupid.
The only other possibility is not to trust your own judgment at all, but be guided by the experts.
This week we have all been to see the exhibition of paintings by August Stepanikos Bonstad at the Royal Tate.
Oh, yes.
A Newton Tweed style.
Yes, well, of course, Bonstad is always exciting, isn't he? Isn't he? And I'm bound to say that I enjoy the exhibition immensely. Nonetheless, One thing did strike me rather forcibly, and that is the fact that, well, to me at any rate, his later work seems to suffer from a lack of cosmic awareness. It is entirely, utterly at variation with the obvious sensibility of his more youthful canvases.
What do you have to say about that, Faith Bradshaw?
Well,
Points I would like to make, if I may.
Yes, what are they to itself?
One can now detect in Bondstadt's present work a certain architectural, yes. Architectural, as well as lyrical quality, a suspense of secrecy with regard to the brushwork. Sense of fossilized motion, being almost literally to spring at one from some of the paintings. That's all I have to say.
That was The Critics, played by Peter Sellers, and Irene Handel. Now, education in art usually begins with the great classical painters because they seem to strike chords even in the most hardened bosom. Headline from the Times Educational Supplement.
Art for delinquent girls, the taste for old masters.
The lives of the great painters of the past seem to be surrounded by romance. There is a theory that being artistic gives the automatic right to be promiscuous, a right which is claimed by many whose artistic talent is of dubious authenticity. But a certain bohemianism is expected of painters. Sexual misconduct and heavy drinking are de rigueur. Here's a Clerihue by Alan M. Lang.
When they found Giotto, Blotto, he said, "Some twerps doped my terps."
Here's another by the well-known A.C. Blake.
Toulouse Lautrec was a bit of a wreck, but his success with women was quite exceptional, considering his height.
And another from the same source.
Hans Holbein the Elder had a model called Griselda, who produced, according to a scandalmonger, Hans Holbein the Younger.
The basic principle was that art justified any irregularities in the artist's private life. But of course people do differ about the quality even of accepted masterpieces, and sometimes they're not helped by the information given in catalogues.
On the north wall there is a large painting of the Trinity in which the figure of the Almighty is about life size.
Just because something's famous and acknowledged as a great work of art, you're not bound to like it. Here's Mark Twain on the Mona Lisa.
The complexion was bad. In fact, it was not even human. There are no people of that color.
But even if you don't like it, there's something to be said for having the opportunity to see a famous painting. Art galleries are valuable museums of our cultural heritage.
And this is Roger Gumtree welcoming you to the National Gallery and the exhibition of French Impressionist paintings. At the moment, I'm standing outside the gallery in front of the very beautiful carved oak doors. The exhibition of French Impressionist paintings that I shall be describing to you is quite unique. In fact, never before have so many of the works of the French Impressionists been assembled in the one gallery. I'm sure you're in for a very exciting time, and of course I myself am tremendously excited. Hardly wait until I see this magnificent exhibition. Yes, indeed, very soon we shall be face to face with the Renoirs, the Gauguins, the Manets, and the Van Goghs. These beautiful doors are the work of Grinlin Gibbons, the very beautiful door carver, as are these lovely marble steps that I'm standing on. Yes. The pavement, however, is the work of the London Pavement Company. These railings are probably the work of some Victorian railing maker, and the window of this side gallery appears to be partly open. Yes, very soon we shall be inside the National Gallery for the Impressionist painting exhibition. The window's shut. This half brick that I now have in my hand comes from late Victorian, or possibly earlier, and That's better. Through the open window, I can clearly see into the gallery, and I... I'm now standing inside one of the... one of the side rooms of the National Gallery, a room which is used for storing paintings. It's rather dark.
Yes.
Now, this part of the gallery is used for restoring paintings, as one can clearly see from the large amounts of paints, turpentine, white spirit, which are stacked all around me. And they go with... Bastard. But... Oh, dear. Oh. Blimey, that's gone. It's much lighter in the gallery now, and through the smoke, I can clearly see the opposite door, which I shall attempt to reach. I'm now standing at the open window, looking back into the restoring room.
And this is Humphrey Snarling, your ITN reporter, bringing you an on-the-spot account of the disastrous fire which is sweeping through the priceless art treasures of the National Gallery.
Humphrey!
Dawn, what are you doing in there?
Well, I'm covering the exhibition of French Impressionists.
Well, I'm doing an on-the-spot report of the disastrous fire which is sweeping through the priceless art treasures of the National Gallery.
Really?
I say, Dawn, since you're in there, would you like to say a word to our millions of viewers?
Well, yes, I would.
Michael Benteen. Art is also a matter of fashion and status. It's very chic to invest in pictures, and sometimes quite shrewd from the financial point of view. As a result, not only wealthy individuals, but wealthy businesses often put their money into art and combine the advantages of respectability with tax concessions. Sometimes the aim is to buy something which is apt for the business involved. Trade of this sort leads to advertisements like this one from the Financial Times.
For sale, Beggar Boy by Murillo. Subject, symbolic, investing public. Thus suitable boardroom.
Sometimes it's not old masters that are bought, but money is invested in the commissioning of new works of art. Suitable, that is, for the company's style and business. Here's a description of a new mural taken from the Times.
The design consists of a male and female nude, recumbent but with a suggestion that they're floating in water. Thus, the main rhythms are not static, but suggest a movement of circulation appropriate to the transactions of the post office.
I think it was giving her a sevenpenny one. Mind you, if you're going to put public money into art, it's as well to have someone around who understands it. Here's a report from The Sun in the late 60s.
The Prince also commented on three towering sculptures outside the main entrance. Pointing at one which featured a mosaic eye, he asked, "What the hell's that?" Salford's mayor, Alderman Edwin Clark, replied, "It is a remarkable piece of modern sculpture, sir."
The sculpture is possibly even more confusing for the uninformed layman than painting. Picking what is good from what is rubbish is extremely difficult, and as increasingly unlikely materials are pressed into the service of art, it becomes more so. This dilemma is well illustrated by this report from The Guardian.
An Argentinian sculptor called Gila Cosice has just been charged £75 duty by the customs at London Airport on his hydraulic sculptures, because the customs held that the sculptures, water-filled constructions of plastic, which were on their way to be exhibited in London, were not works of art, but bits of plumbing.
Alas, the artist in society is doomed to be eternally misunderstood, and even when he is working in a conventional medium, he's in danger of ridicule. Here's an extract from a letter written to the post-war Daily Graphic.
My father, Charles Abbey, worked on the Albert Memorial as a sculptor and said he carved my face among the angels on it. I was a baby at the time. I've often wondered why people run down the beautiful Albert Memorial.
You try running up it. But that is another aspect of art, the dedication of the finished product to a loved one. Though this can get out of hand if the loved one becomes the medium of the art. A report from the Daily Mirror.
Over the years, I tattooed my wife elaborately. I think some of my finest efforts were dedicated to my wife. I've covered nearly every inch of her body. Our children used to look upon their mother as a fascinating and colourful picture book. And always begged her to show them yet another lovely picture and explain its meaning.
That's really no sillier than some of the things that are nowadays offered as art. The human element is often present, you know. There was an exhibition recently in London in which one work featured a live human breast. In Davis Street it was. The poor girl involved had to lie for hours with her breast, one, protruding through a hole in the structure, while the art-loving public passed by and tittered. And in Germany, a man actually patented himself as a work of art, sat in a cage and charged the public to come and look at him. In these days when art can consist of an Andy Warhol soup can or covering 2 miles of the Australian coastline with plastic sheeting, the horizons for the artist seem unlimited. And for the amateur art lover, it's difficult to know who is fooling whom. News from the old News Chronicle.
Mr. Green paints in black. He has a thing about black, explained Mr. Smith. Mr. Green calls it an attachment. His 3 pictures, Asphyxiation 1, Asphyxiation 2 and Asphyxiation 3, were done on hardboard laid flat on the floor. I throw on stove enamel, sand and rubble, put on a pair of shoes and skid about on it. The marks are fundamentally accidental, but interesting.
Coming more up to date, here's a report from The Guardian of another artist extending the accepted definition of art.
Marioni's own earliest sound piece, which incidentally held an unseen time element since it involved drinking beer all afternoon beforehand, was the act of urinating into a galvanized bucket from the top of a 10-foot ladder.
I don't think that would pass most people's test of a work of art. Is it the sort of thing I'd like in my sitting room? Once... the noise. But one's always hesitant to dismiss any work of art, really, as rubbish. In future years, its true worth may be recognised and you'll be condemned as short-sighted. So modern artists, however strange, should always be treated with a degree of respect.
I would like to talk to you about your paintings. Now,
yes, we certainly know it's my life. Colour and art. I love art.
They are very unusual. I notice that...
God bless you for your perception.
I notice one... You also... you sculpt, too, I notice.
Sculpting and painting, all the arts.
There is a metallic sculpture there that is very interesting.
Yes, metallic.
What do you call that? It's just a series of wires in a grid-like effect.
What you mean above the door?
Yes, what do you call
that? Yes, that's called air conditioning.
I'm sorry, sir.
I did not make that.
No.
The Fetters Company made, but it's better do it, sir.
Yes. Your paintings are very abstract, I noticed.
Yes, but they don't blow air out. The machines.
No. May I ask you about some of the paintings?
Yes, they certainly may.
That painting there that is entitled The Gull on a Hot Rock.
Yes.
Now, I don't see anything on that but a bunch of little specks.
Yes, well, I saw the gull on a hot rock from over 5 miles away.
Oh, I see.
I was standing on a cliff. That's why I painted in the perspective, the 3 little dots.
Yeah, getting closer, sir. May I examine a little more closely?
Certainly, not too close.
Yes. Now, that is not paint, those dots. They look like... Those are flies.
Yes, they are. They're flies.
But you didn't paint that. Those are real flies.
No, I took them, caught them in my hand until the air was out of their bodies and they died. And then I...
You pasted them on?
With little dots of glue and put them on the dots. And they represent the gull on the rock. I had to kill them. If I had not killed them, if they were not dead and glued to my picture, then I have no picture. Fly away, I got nothing, Charlie.
Well, excuse you.
What are you going to buy?
Well, sir, may I ask you about this particular abstract?
Yes, they're mainly impressionistic, post-impressionistic, pre-impressionistic, and impressionistic.
Yes, this one is more of an academician type of painting.
No, it's not.
Well, for instance, it's very graphic, it's very graphic.
Yes, it's very graphic. It's very graphic.
It's a draftsman-like quality. The spaghetti looks like spaghetti. The limp salad looks like limp salad. And the garlic bread looks like garlic bread.
Oh, no. That's not a picture. That's my supper.
Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. The scope for the visual artist was extended by the invention of photography. Not only did it mean that there was no longer such a need for representational painting and open up the possibilities for abstract art, but the new invention also had considerable potential as a medium in its own right. In early years, though, it was regarded with some suspicion. Here's Ambrose Bierce's definition.
Photograph, a picture painted by the sun without instruction in art. It is little better than the work of an Apache, but not quite so good as that of a Cheyenne.
Mark Twain was also a bit wary.
I think a photograph is a most important document. There's nothing more damning to go down to posterity than a silly, foolish smile caught and fixed forever.
We've all got a few hideous photographs around that grin reproachfully and idiotically at us from albums. Photography intensified the clash of art against reality, as can be demonstrated by this famous exchange. Are you ready, Alfred? An admiring friend looks at a young mother's baby and says,
"My, that's a beautiful baby you have there."
And the mother replies,
"That's nothing. You should see his photograph."
And sometimes photography can improve on reality. Here's a line from Peter Ustinov.
If Botticelli were alive today, he'd be working for Vogue.
Certainly modern photographers do sometimes give themselves all the pretensions of great artists.
So you really think my old fan photos have been holding me back, Steve?
Of course they have. I've been telling you that for years. I mean, I'm a good agent, but even I've had trouble getting new work. Oh, because of those photographs. That Valentino one. Diabolical it is.
My sheep pose? That's my favorite.
Yeah. When I started showing it around, I thought I was collecting money for Arab refugees.
You sure the place we're going to is all right?
All right. This geezer is the best theatrical photographer in London. I send all my clients to him. He charges 50 nickel a sitting.
£50 for one photograph? I want it in postcard size, not Cinerama. £50? They made my last film for less than that.
It's worth every penny, sir. It's worth every penny. This boy is fabulous. He does beautiful retouch jobs. He'll make you look like $1 million. He'll take them wrinkles out, get rid of the crow's feet under your eyes, pin your ears back, cover up some of that loose stuff around your neck, straighten the nose out a bit, put the eyes further apart.
What an attractive picture you paint of me. I'm having no retouching done on my photographs. I face the world as I am.
Well, we'll see what he says anyway. He might have some ideas when he sees you. He's never been defeated yet. This is it. Hilary Sinclair.
Oh, my word. I bet he's all corduroys and blow waves.
Get inside.
No, don't move. I stay just where you are. The light catches you perfectly.
Who, me?
Oh, the vision of sheer heaven. Lovely, then move. I must take you. It's pure poetry of line and composition.
Get away.
Just tilt the head so the sunlight just dances on your hair.
Oh, you mean like this?
Yeah. Yes. I shall call it in juxtaposition.
No. What about texture?
Yes. It's even better.
I'm getting out of here.
Tony Hancock, Sid James and Kenneth Williams. And that's another feature of artists. Most people are just a little bit wary of them. Artists seem set apart and not wholly reliable. Here's a poem called The Artist by Sir Walter Raleigh. Not actually the Elizabethan one who prevented royal rising damp, but the scholar who died in 1922.
The artist and his luckless wife, they lead a horrid, haunted life. Surrounded by the things he's made that are not wanted by the trade. The world is very fair to see. The artist will not let it be. He fiddles with the works of God and makes them look uncommon odd. The artist is an awful man. He does not do the things he can. He does the things he cannot do. and we attend the private view. The artist uses honest paint to represent things as they ain't. He then asks money for the time it took to perpetrate the crime.
Still, the convention is that the sins of the artist are expiated by the quality of his work, and the work can only be assessed really by the opinion of the art lover. Let's close with another definition from Ambrose Bierce.
Picture, a representation in two dimensions of something wearisome in three. Behold great Daubert's picture here on view, taken from life. If that description's true, grant heavenly powers that I be taken too.
Well, next week, Alfred and I will be taking you into the world of books. Until then, from both of us, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Frank Muir goes into The Visual Arts was produced by Simon Brett and John Davis.